The Gold Coast is home worldwide to the most surfers per capita. With glorious beaches and a laid-back culture, surfing is an integral part of the GC life. Dating back to 1917, the GC was described as a surfer's paradise, which led to in 1933, the township then known as Elston was officially renamed Surfer's Paradise. With the climate discussion being a part of our everyday discourse, it is important now to ask the question, are traditional surf products impacting our oceans? Local business owner of Green Planet Surfer, Donovan Van Putten, talks about his long-term love affair with the ocean and how becoming aware of his impact spurred him on to create his Eco Surf Works.
And that really started looking at, you know, plastics and whatnot. And then I sort of started thinking about my love for the ocean, and I actually started recycling the wax on my surfboard. So, like, I'd scrape it off, and then I'd heat it up and then sort of reduce it down again and try and take out the impurities like sand and whatnot, and then re-pour it and reuse it. And I did that for a little while. And then one day I was at a market, and I walked past, and I found a block of beeswax. And I was like, gee, I wonder if I can make wax out of that. And that's just, I just started researching, and oh, yeah, I can. So I bought some, and then I tried it. And 12 months later, and probably 90 samples later, and lots of surfing sessions, I sort of came up with something that was a good product that was comparable to other products out there.
A study from the University of Berkeley back in 2020 estimated that the amount of CO2 emissions released in the production of a surfboard ranges anywhere between 170 to 250 kilograms throughout its process. Not only that, but local board maker and business owner of Rockaday Surfboards, Shane Luke, chatted with us on the wastefulness of big surf corporations.
Probably more waste is produced than actually material that's left, you know, as a surfboard, because of things like now most boards are made from CNC machines, so they're cut, not handcrafted. Now those big companies that have become more global orientated, they're getting their boards made in Thailand and in Indonesia because it's cheaper, materials are cheaper, they're inferior, and so they're just looking at profit margins. And I think that's the companies, they're driven by money, and then the people buying it are looking at just what's cheaper as well. And because it's made overseas, there's some coming in that are $300 and $400 for a brand new board, and that's more than my material cost for making a board. But that board will only last, you know, 3 to 6 months, whereas mine are lasting, there's boards that are like 7 years old now since I started using those materials, and they're still going great.
According to ReportLinker Market Research, the global surf market is set to increase by 4% over the next 4 years, estimated by 2030 to reach $5.5 billion. Associate Professor at Griffith University, Kerry Foxwell Norton, is a research expert in environmental and marine communications. She herself is a surfer and reinforced the same idea of impacting needing to change on an industry level.
First issue in terms of surfing and sustainability is about, I mean, there's some raw end of the conversation that has to do around industry and markets and people's demand, consumer demand for products that are more sustainable, that don't hurt the planet and its people, as are our current practices, clearly, based on what's happening around climate and other ecological catastrophes.
So what should we do? With numerous local businesses invested in surf sustainability, it is a great opportunity to look at what is on our doorstep and do our part to keep our oceans healthy for generations to come.